pray. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these words be yours and bless. Amen. And they wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. That is all Luke tells us about the circumstances of Jesus' birth. That's it. But down through the years, we've read a great deal into this story, and we assume that it was a family left out in the cold, that they ended up in a stable somewhere with animals all around. But all Luke mentions is a manger, the Greek potne, which is a feeding trough of indeterminate length or size. It could be big, it could be small. It could be small enough to be brought from the outside into the hotel. See, that's the way I see it. And there's a picture I've had in my office, a painting that depicts the nativity, and I love it because there's these exhausted parents sitting in what could be a rustic inn lobby, the no vacancy sign almost behind them, with their baby in a tiny little feeding place. We make do with where we lay the child. It reminded me of a time long ago when both my kids were young and we were flying to a wedding in Wisconsin, and because of weather we got trapped in Minneapolis St. Paul's airport. And that night, laying on the floor in the gate where we hoped to depart in someday, Patty and I made L's of our bodies. And in between was Laura lying next to us and Rebecca as a baby in a carry-on that was opened up. That's what I think happened. That on that first Christmas, we have an improvised crib. And when you think about it, that's done all the time. I did some research. And you know, the crib is actually a relatively recent happening. It was only invented in the 19th century. Prior to that, infants generally slept with their parents in their bed, which could be disastrous on occasion. But there are alternatives all over the place of what we do with babies. I've known parents I spoke to this week doing my research that have used a dresser drawer for their baby or a laundry basket. When I was living in Hawaii, I dated a girl who babysat for surfers, and she would dig holes out of the sand and lay three or four of them around up while they all were playing on the waves. In Brazil, they have something called serapes, which is a crib manufactured to hang from the ceiling like a tiny little hammock that kept the children snug and safe from vermin. It was easy to rock through the night. What I like is in Finland, the government gives firstborn mothers a box that's filled with all sorts of baby supplies, diapers and bedding and the like. And the best thing about it, they found out, is the new mothers love the box, this rigid cardboard, and they often use that as a crib. I think cribs have been improvised as long as there have been babies. Because the goal is to find some way to keep your baby close by wherever you go and secure, because it is precious cargo. So here's my take on it. There have probably been an untold number of Christmas Eve sermons on Luke chapter 2, verse 7 that I read. But usually, most of them always emphasize the no room in the inn part. And we make this point of, don't you be like that nasty innkeeper and not let Jesus inside. But I think we can do well to consider, at least as an alternative, the second half of that verse. And they laid him in a manger. The epitome of innovation. And I think we could all do a good job, a better job, at being manger arrangers of Jesus. That as we leave this place, to find ways that we can safeguard Christ in the toughest of circumstances and keep him close at hand, even if that means jerry-rigging something else in our lives. That's the message tonight. We got a baby to take care of. Mary and Joseph laid him in a manger to protect the baby Jesus. Get him off the floor, snuggled for warmth, keep him from falling. You know, when I started out as a pastor, I was terrified of baptisms because I was scared to death of babies. You know, I didn't know what was going on, not the baby themselves, but the fact that I could do something to hurt it. So I was hyper alert and always on the edge, so careful because I didn't want to hurt it. I had a couple of my own, drop them all the time, and I got used to it. But shouldn't we feel that way about Jesus? To treat him as if he's fragile and precious. Not that he needs it. He's God incarnate. But recognize how important it is for us to cherish him in that way. Mary and Joseph using a manger meant putting Jesus in a safe place, even if it was a bit odd when you think about it. But it did serve as a good sign for the shepherds to actually find him in Bethlehem. But do we treat Jesus with the precious care that he deserves? Or do we kind of ignore him? Let him fend for himself in our world as we go about other things. To treat him like a baby doesn't mean to belittle him, but instead to see him as the center of our attention, keeping watch over him at all times, responding to his wishes, both those when they are supremely obvious and those that we haven't a clue what it is he really wants of us. Mary and Joseph laid him in a manger to keep him close. You think about their situation. Away from home, stressed out, making the best of a very bad situation. But they still make sure that their newborn baby is right by their side. That there is this essence of wherever they would be, they keep that child near them. I came across the 21st century equivalent of a fantastic manger. I looked it online. It's called the Nuna Pipa Excalibur 4000. It's listed as a car seat, but it also functions as a stroller. And it actually works also as a cradle because it rocks on its own. It can be flattened into a bed, and it has something that I was intrigued with called airplane mode. But it also comes with multiple apps. It floats. It has an attachment you can put onto your bicycle. It has a sun visor, a heating element, and even a cooler for snacks or something. There is no place in the world that a kid with this contraption cannot go with their parents. Although it sure makes you wonder about the parents. A manger means portability. Take Christ with you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, he's there to be with you on the side and us to make sure we find ways to have that happen. Last year, around Christmas time, one of our preschool kids was coming in here with his mother before our program, and he was walking to this place, and he said almost in a whisper, "This is where Jesus is." And I said, "Come on, you know, what do you say about every time we light a candle?" And he says, as preschool kids are all taught, "Jesus Christ is the light of the world." And I said, "Wherever there is light, Jesus is with you." And he goes like, "Even in my Teenage Mutant Ninja flashlight?" And I go, "Yes, Jesus is there. Wherever there's light, he's with you, so take him with you." I didn't know if it worked out, but his mom a few days later told me that he had always been embarrassed about the nightlight that was in his room. And he told his mom, "That nightlight is Jesus watching me when I sleep." Jesus is the light of the world. Take him home. Keep him close. Even if this is the only time of the year you come to church, know that he's always going to be with you, no matter where you are, every place, every situation, every day. He's not just light of the world, but he wants to light up your world. Even, especially, where it's darkest. I say all this not to add something to you, but to comfort you. Because all these things I'm suggesting that you might do manger-wise, you know, keeping him secure, keeping him close, keeping him, that's really what he does for us. I've been talking about manger arranging, our setting up a temporary place for Christ wherever we go. But truly, he wants to take full-time residency in our heart. And the best way I can put this and put it to a conclusion is using Luther's words in his prayer and cradle song and carol. He prays, "Ah, dearest Jesus, holy child, make thee a bed soft, undefiled within my heart, that it may be a quiet chamber kept for thee." Christ's presence is the best present of all.